Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, what's the best way to start off this week?
I think it's that I really need to express, I'm so tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
As is mantra, I'm so tired.
Don't turn off the podcast. You're not listening to a rerun.
Okay. So, here's the thing that happened this week.
Okay.
And the thing that I can't get over. As you know, Money in the Bank, the big, shocking, big deal moment, into the show.
Yeah.
Ali was on top of the ladder, about to grab that briefcase.
Yep.
And surprise mysterious eighth man, which had been set up kind of throughout the show. It was like, it was going to be Sammy, wasn't going to be Braun Strowman, but it was definitely going to be Braun Strowman.
Right.
Like, was built up, and then it's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar comes down. Brock Lesnar wins Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Now, first little asterisk. For those who don't know Heather, my wife, the first wrestling event she ever saw was a Money in the Bank match.
Yep.
I thought that'd be a great idea.
That was her first time watching any wrestling.
Yeah, it was a wrestling event.
Yeah.
So, thought it'd be a great idea, big, you know, great thing. No, just little pro tip out there to everybody. That's not a great thing to start on because of the ladder thing.
Yeah, and because like, of how long it takes for everyone to climb up a ladder.
Yes.
To the person who isn't used to it, it's unsettling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that has forever ruined those for her. So I have to like look past that because, no, ladder matches are amazing. But I will say, Ali was very much up there.
Yes, and he was there for a while.
And Brock is very far away.
Yeah.
So, like, the usually these surprise, I'm going to stop you, are people that popping up, and they're in the ring, and they push the ladder over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm totally into that. I have, like, pulled the wool back over my own eyes. That is a valid thing that happens a lot. That's not a problem.
Yep.
But, like, the guy's on the guy's really far away.
Yeah.
You got two hands on that briefcase, buddy.
And, like, I mean, Brock Lesnar is a quick man for his size, but he's not that quick.
Yes. But the thing that really bothers me, that just really gets under my skin about this, is for like a second and a half, I was very excited about this. Like, it was an unexpected thing. Like, I did not expect Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Brock Lesnar got this briefcase, and I was like, what are they going to do with this? And I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is a terrible idea for XYZ reasons. We can spend the whole podcast, you know, throwing out these reasons. But I don't mind admitting, like, for a second and a half, it totally got me. I was like, this is a huge swerve. Where did this come from? I'm very excited to see where this is going. And that fell away almost instantly. But I know that, like, moment that they were going for, they got it, at least out of me.
Yeah.
And they view that as a win. That's viewed as like, we got you to feel that way. And like it was a fraction of a second. It was like this. It was, I went through the whole emotional journey, you know, before you put up the copyright tag at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. You went full like excitement into disappointment.
Yes.
Like, in the span of a few seconds.
And that makes this, I think, the record setting for short-term booking over long-term booking. Because they were booking for the 10-second emotional response with no regard, not even to like where this is going to hit in a year or 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they probably have an idea a little bit further than 10 seconds.
Okay. But it's not a good one.
No, it's not. And you know, I'm definitely with you on that. But this has, you know, royal family or royal Saudi family money all over it. Because, I mean, we're, what, like a week away?
Yeah,
2 weeks away.
Like that.
And, you know, Brock is supposed to announce next week who he's facing when they've already announced that Kofi. Well, they hadn't announced it at that point, but the next night, you know, set up Kofi versus Dolph Ziggler, of all people.
Which, boy, howdy, that would be just the most interesting thing to see a long 3-month, like, slow build storyline around.
Sure, but it was done because there's a bunch of other top guys on SmackDown that either are in already in another match or refusing to go to Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah, no. There's not like obviously.
Like I have a feeling like it's just for the show, and then Dolph Ziggler's going back away.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It absolutely is, and that's very frustrating.
Yes,
because Kofi versus Dolph should be an amazing match. Should be.
It should have so much story involved in it because they have feuded almost on every level.
On almost every level, and this isn't even a situation where I'm like, if they'd only played their cards right over the past 2 years, they could have built up to something great. No, you can start right now.
Oh yeah,
you can have with all the
even though they're going from like 0 to 60 with this.
Well, with all the crap and terrible gimmicks that you've put on Dolph Ziggler, and the like, I'm the no gimmick, and like the record scratch, and to just have him go from this point and say like, look, I did all the stupid gimmicks.
Yeah.
I did the goofy thing. I did the serious thing. I did whatever you wanted, whatever was supposed to make me the entertaining A-lister.
Yeah.
And it never worked. And now you got it for some reason. And I'm mad about that.
Right.
I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
We could do that
on
immediately.
Top of, on top of them having, you know, almost a decade of history.
Yeah.
Between the two of them. So.
But none of that. None of that.
But none of that. We're going to get a one done. But that being said, there's no way they're not going to have Brock Lesnar on the Saudi Arabia show.
Oh, no, of course not.
So clearly he's going to, quote unquote, cash in and set up a match against Seth Rollins in Saudi Arabia and probably win.
So Money in the Bank, we have spoken about as being the fifth member of the Big Four.
Yeah.
It is, you know, sometimes you'll say Big Five. Sometimes you'll be like, Survivor Series is having a little bit of a struggle. And so, or you're like, there's a Big Four and there's five of them. You know, Hitchhiker Rules.
Except for this year. This year they didn't get a takeover, so that automatically disqualifies it.
Well, and so we have this thing where it's been, I don't know if rushed is the right word, but like jumbled around of like when Money in the Bank is happening.
Yeah.
So it happened with very little fanfare. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like we will spend, with two Money in the Bank matches having happened, we will spend less than a month with anybody carrying around that Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
And
I don't see Brock Lesnar holding it very long. I mean, even if they don't do, you know, the Saudi Arabia show for like with a scenario, I don't see Brock Lesnar holding on to it.
And
very
then
long.
Well, and I get even if it was like, hey, Brock Lesnar is going to cash in October, November, December, whatever. I get the argument of, you know, the excitement of Money in the Bank is that this cash-in could happen any moment, and that's extra there with Brock Lesnar because, you know, he's not even there every week, and he could come in out of nowhere any time. But, hey, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And so much of what makes Money in the Bank work is it being this thing that's not a title, but this thing to carry around.
Yeah.
This stamp of approval of going forward and used correctly of I am Mr. Money in the Bank or Ms. Money in the Bank has been able to elevate as much as or more as than a title for several people.
Yep.
Which is some point, Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler had better success using the Money in the Bank briefcase as his trophy to carry around for several months.
It can be a good tool to elevate someone on the upper mid card, or really just anywhere on the mid card. It can be a way to kind of give them a test run into the main event, you know, put a big spotlight on them for the entire time they have the briefcase, and then, like, you know, see what happens with a championship if they decide to actually, you know, have him win his cash in. But I don't feel like they've really used the briefcase like that. Not in the men's briefcases, at least. I don't feel like they've used it like that in a while. It's always gone on, you know, men that have already been established.
Yeah.
And, like, really benefit in no way other than we know we want the championship on this guy at some point in the near future.
So,
you know, and that's as far as they've thought into it.
Yeah, no, it's been poorly used a lot.
Yeah.
And also, the cash-ins have kind of either been like, we changed our mind cash-ins. Damian Sandow Who's the other one?
Baron.
The Lone Wolf. Yes, Baron Corbin. Thank you. So the fact that, like, they made the big announcement, like, you know, 81% of the, you know, holders have gone on to win. And you're like, that sure doesn't sound like 100.
Nope. Not used to. And honestly, I'm okay with, you know, with Bayley cashing in immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, they've done so much with Bayley already. Like, anything they would have done with her in the briefcase in the near future would have felt like, okay. This is, we just, you know, they're barely scraping by with finding something for her to do.
Okay, I'm very happy for Bayley. Much deserved.
Right.
Sure. Excellent champion, should go on to do great things.
Right. I'm so speaking
that,
like strictly
all that
as a
being
storyline.
Said,
yeah.
How much of this do you think is a result of showing Sasha, like, if you're not on the roster, like, oh,
I mean,
your partner.
There might be a little bit of that. like, but I would hope that everyone's a little bit more mature than being that. Yeah, I know it's that. I couldn't even get through that sentence. I understand that. I understand.
I was like, I think the face I just pulled made, and it was okay to do on a podcast because you could hear the face.
I mean, you couldn't even let me play Devil's Advocate for 30 more seconds. That's fine. I do want to. I mean,
what would you do? Like the only person, the only hero of this story could be like old Bayley, who doesn't want to, like, you know, hurt her friends. So I was like, Bayley's not going to turn down a title. And
no.
If there are four horsewomen and all of them were a champion at some point on Sunday night, three of them, everybody except Sasha, was a champion at Money in the Bank. For at least a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good point.
That's it. You could have been champion Sasha, but you have to be a stubborn stick in the mud. I feel like.
She's been champion a couple times, though.
I feel like that message is there. And again, this is not to be like, Bayley doesn't deserve this. This is not to be like, no, Bayley, well-deserved, excellent champion. Looking forward to seeing what they can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But. I don't think that.
I just had the most random idea for a meme, and it's really
bad.
And really random. I don't even understand why in the world I just thought of this. You remember? Remember watching Passion of the Christ?
I've never seen Passion of the Christ.
Okay, well then this will be fun for
you. I mean, I read the book.
Good for you. At least one of us. I'm kidding. There's a part where, you know, Jesus is, you know, carrying the cross, like,
I'm familiar,
yeah. And there's a part where someone who we perceive to be the devil,
mm-hmm.
carrying like a disfigured baby who's supposed to be like the Antichrist, whatever. It was real like stupidly symbolic,
uh-huh.
just kind of like look here, yeah kind of thing. I just Bayley walking and then looking over, and it's WWE carrying, you know, or not Bayley, Sasha walking up, and then, you know, WWE carrying like a Bayley as champion baby.
It's not, terrible.
Yeah.
It's not.
I said from the get-go.
I don't think that we could ignore the, like.
Yeah.
And part of it is, and we'll get to, you know, Double or Nothing in a second, but it's more and more becoming this unignorable thing.
Right.
There was some story in the I don't remember what, but that was, you know, that. McMahon daughter, Stephanie. Thank you. God, names are not my thing on this particular episode.
I was still tempted to go back to Passion of the Christ and be like, devil.
Stephanie, like, had to, do, or didn't have to, but did some sort of, like, pep rally speech in the locker room of, like, AEW's out there, and, like, we're going to show them, and rah, rah, rah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, obviously, Double or Nothing is going to be the bulk of
right.
this particular podcast. But the one other thing mm-hmm. I think we need to talk about is the announcement of and unveiling of the brand new championship.
Uh-huh.
The WWE 24/7 championship.
And I guess a rebranding of the last hour of Raw.
Yes.
We didn't really see a whole lot of difference in that this week. Really, all we just saw was, you know, they changed the lights. They didn't light up the crowd, which is I like that. Like, that it is different. It makes everything feel different immediately. And then they changed the color of the title cards and logos and stuff like that.
Yes,
but It's supposed to be a third hour of wrestling geared more towards adults. I will believe it when I see it.
I will believe it when I see it.
I'm not holding my breath. And then we, in you know, we got the 24/7.
So first things first.
Uh-huh.
A, that's a horrendous looking title.
It really is. The side plates are blank. I got a good look of it because you know, there's been a lot of social media posts, which is really like what they're really gearing towards with this. It looks so last minute put together.
Yes.
Absolutely last minute put together.
Do you remember where they would tease, and it wasn't even they would tease, just we would hear rumors of they're making a new WWE championship for months.
Months.
And just like, you know, these like, oh, they're working on this, they're like going through all these design options, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this, I find it very hard to believe that this title existed a week ago.
The side plates look like they're barely hanging on to that strap.
It just looks so first draft. I mean, people have talked about, like, the best way to describe it is that looks like the championship belt of a local fantasy football league that takes themselves a little too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they paid probably too much money for it, but they didn't. It looked better in the pictures than when it actually arrived. And then they suddenly realized, man, I spent like $500 on this piece of garbage.
Where like everybody's there to have fun except for one person who's there to win, and like he sprung the like $300 for a belt, and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. But then like you start winning, you're like, well, I want to be that guy. And so like everybody gets a little too into the belt. But it was $300.
This is going to be real inside jokey for us, but it's if John was bad with money. You know?
Yeah.
Because he takes stuff really seriously. Sometimes fantasy football, if he's doing well. If he's not doing well, he gives up like halfway through the season.
Well, yeah, that was a belt that was purchased by somebody who was doing well.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And then lost at the end of the year.
Yeah. But they weren't doing, like, they were doing well and they needed the title by the end of the season.
Yep.
So like it wasn't the plan for game one, but like about game six, they're like, I'm doing great. I need a championship belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then lost.
Okay. So.
Yes.
It looks terrible, that aside. But the thing that bothers me the most is that you didn't call it the Hardcore Championship.
Right.
Why would you not call it the Hardcore Championship? The 24/7 title is a terrible, terrible title.
Sure.
It is the most mouthful, garbled title they've ever had.
Pretty close. I mean, the Universal Championship is pretty.
Yeah, I'm like it's red, which is stupid.
No, I mean like it just has a name.
I like that. That is something that I feel like I have accepted.
Sure.
But this and you had Hardcore title, like you had the name, you had the gimmick already, and I feel like you went through this exact same process. A few months ago with the XFL, where you're like, all right, we're going to do the XFL. It's not the XFL anymore. It's not Extreme. It's not, you know,
it's just tackle. We have the copyright.
We have the copyright. We have the title. The title sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like, okay, at the end of the day, it sounds cool. The XFL. So we're just going to call it that again. And so why do you go through that whole thought process and come to that conclusion, which I think ultimately is the correct conclusion, is there's name brand recognition and da-da-da for it, and then have what is essentially the same scenario for the Hardcore title and just drop the ball so bad and be like, we need to call this the 24/7 title.
Okay, see, for years, WWE's been really good at branding their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, putting a good tagline on everything. It just seems like overnight they have lost all ability to do that. Because you've got the 24/7 BS.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Saudi Arabia show. I forget the Super Showdown. Yeah.
Super Showdown, yeah.
They've said it a few times, but the tagline for the show is effing horrendous. Well, it could exceed, like, or if not equal, WrestleMania. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's something you say in, like, a quarter, phone conference or something.
Yeah.
Not, like, say that to your fans, is just feels ew. Like, it doesn't feel like a tagline. It's like, this could be the biggest thing ever, or at least equal that. Please come to our thing. Yes, thank you. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's horrendous.
It's awful.
It's absolutely horrendous.
It's just they forgot, like, they forgot how to work on a deadline, and B, they just forgot how to be creative, period. Or they're just saying yes to everything.
So, the story going around right now is that basically USA NBC is acknowledging and worried about the falling ratings, particularly in the third hour of the show. The third hour is especially bad. Mm-hmm. Almost as if 3 hours is not a good amount of time to spend on wrestling.
Who would have thought?
Standard primetime television, again, is 2 hours.
Maybe this 7 years experience of having a 3 hour Raw should end.
So,
God, 7 years? 2012.
Yeah, all right. That apparently, according to, I think it's Wrestling Observer.
Yeah.
USA has been pitching ideas, and they were all terrible, but Vince knew they had to pick one. They had to, like, appease them, and 24/7 was the least horrendous of their ideas.
Sure.
Now.
Okay.
The fact that Vince sees a pile of ideas and thinks they are horrendous at this moment in time, I don't know what that says. Like, right.
It makes you wonder, like, is this, like, what else has been their ideas?
Right, right.
Like, how many of their awful ideas have they been using? You know, we just mentioned the 24/7 one. That might just be the latest one that they've used.
Well, A, is this a thing where, like, if 24/7 was the, you know, gem in the turd pile, what other terrible things are they pitching?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they pitching some great things and Vince can't recognize that?
And how bad must it be that Vince McMahon, you know, just the grapefruits, just is taking creative ideas from network reps.
Yeah.
Not from a creative team that he had hired, that he, you know,
no,
that the company trusts
anyway, yeah.
or anything, but from network reps who have, like, I dare to say, zero creative experience.
Yeah.
But he's taking... So, yeah, it's going to be a pile of turds.
I will hypothesize, and this is full just random hypothesis, but once I say it, you'll know it was true. Like, you'll know in your heart of hearts this happened.
Yeah.
There was a pitch at some point to go back to the celebrity guest host.
Oh, yeah.
The celebrity GM.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say one of the first six names was Crisley.
No, I'm pretty sure one of the six names were other people from other USA shows.
Yes. I don't know. What I'm saying is, like, yes.
Yeah.
But Crisley was definitely one of their top choices.
Oh, Lord. Crisley was probably the choice 1 through 7.
Yeah. So.
I take that back. Crisley and his horrible, terrible family.
Oh, yeah. His kids have a spinoff now, don't they? They might have gotten to host their own episode of Raw. So, I will say.
Is it possible for an entire family to be in the closet together?
I will say, in that scenario, the 24/7 might be the lesser of two evils that we're sitting on. That being said, unless USA Network said, you are not allowed to call this the hardcore title, we are a family channel, the hardcore is the thing of the past, this cannot be the hardcore title.
Yeah.
But
it could have been worse. It could have been like the third hour championship or something.
You know what? Fine. If you would...
They would need to call it something better than that. But, I mean, if that's the stipulation, then fine.
Yeah, fine. It's the TV championship. Or it's the...
Right.
Or just a random stupid word. The, you know, powerhouse championship. The elite... It can't be the elite championship.
Yeah.
Or do it. Or freaking do it.
You know what?
It's not a word you can copyright.
See, that right there is some Vince McMahon grapefruits. Like,
for true eliteness, tune in to Raw Hour 3, our elite championship. We're only the most elite... You know, here's where the big boys play.
Calling it like the Platinum Hour with the Elite Championship or something like
that. Do it.
Stupid. Yeah.
This is where the Elite Boys play. Let's look at the adjective play.
You know what? Everybody, get on your social media machines and let's bully Vince McMahon into, like, you know, taking it to this upstart wrestling promotion. And, like, act like, you know, you actually have some competition because you do. Granted, like, you know, AEW's not going to come out of the gate perfect. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But, you know... WWE is doing the thing that they've done this entire time with TNA, and that is ignore, ignore, ignore.
Right.
It's no fun. It's no fun when you ignore. That's what. Well, you know, okay. It's selfish, but
I don't think you can. Like, and
yeah.
Obviously they shouldn't. I don't. They don't need to punch down. Like that. No. That's just.
They don't need to attack.
That's going to leave a bad taste in my mouth. Right. Is and there was definitely a point there where. And it's a point right now. If they suddenly started being like, hey, let's all joke about how much TNA sucks, they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that is beating a dead horse. That is
but the Kurt
smacking
Angle,
the ice cream out of the child's hand.
But the Kurt Angle TNA line still is funny.
You can do it. Like there are...
But it wasn't like a, you know, just beating while it was down. It's just one you know, funny moment.
Right. And Kurt Angle is a very specific person who honestly, like, in retrospect... spent the bulk of his career in TNA. Yeah. Like he is.
So it didn't feel as mean coming from him.
Right. And probably is one of the, you know, biggest supporters of TNA having a golden age. And he's talked about, like, some of his best work is in TNA, and he wishes that was more widely visible.
Yeah.
But, you know, those things, they don't need to punch down on every, you know, lower thing. And so I don't necessarily immediately want them to be like, hey, let's, you know, crap all over, poo-poo all over these guys. But I think they're coming up big and fast. I think they're coming for you.
Sure.
Like, and they're being so super coy. Like, oh, no, we're just, you know, like, we're not on the same level and we're looking for different.
Everyone.
And like, that's...
Including Tony is just completely like, you know, we're not trying to compete with WWE. We're just like, we're trying to fill a void as far as having an alternative.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
like you keep saying
that's a very
that.
Humble way to start.
Yes.
We'll see how long it takes for the fangs to come out either side.
The names that you're saying and the TV channels you're being on, like, that's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where we are in a year, assuming things go right. Which, that brings us to...
Well, before we get to Double or Nothing.
Okay.
I do want to briefly touch on some people that have asked not to go to Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Okay, and the reasoning. And, well, or WWE just, you know, not having people on the show. Daniel Bryan, no surprise there.
Right.
Asked not to be on there, so he's not going to. That's one reason why Dolph Ziggler's facing Kofi. Another reason why Dolph Ziggler's facing Kofi is Kevin Owens. Apparently his family has asked for him not to go, which is also, Saudi Arabia has not had a good relationship with Canada, so that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine Sami Zayn is going.
No, Sami Zayn is not going.
And then WWE has decided that they're not going to take Aleister Black over,
yes.
Which he's not even on TV right now to begin with, so that makes sense. And then, but the reasoning is, you know, all the tattoos, which, I mean, that's half the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of symbolism with his entrance and his whole thing of, like, you know, Satanism or anything like that, and they don't want to risk offending anyone. And I mean, they said really anyone in, you know, the country, but really they mean, you know, the royal family.
Who signed the paychecks.
Yes. I love just how concerned they are with offending the royal family of Saudi Arabia and how disinterested they are in offending, oh, I don't know, the rest of their audience who have been like shouting from the mountaintop for the past 8-9 months.
You are gripping that microphone like you were about to come to the big finish of your comedy routine.
Like, I'm not. I'm just going to yell.
Like you are coming in at it.
But for like the last 8-9 months, it seems like a large bulk of their audience has been offended by WWE's relationship with Saudi Arabia. So I just love to see exactly where, you know,
okay,
their loyalties lie. And again, it comes
down
to money.
You know what? That's the thing. It's like, it comes down to money. I can't even...
I had to get worked up about something with Saudi Arabia.
At this point, I can't even... Again, it comes back to, I'm so tired.
Yeah, sure.
I can't properly, and maybe this is, you know, a moral failing on my part, but it's hard to muster the full energy to get offended because it's so blatantly about money.
Yeah.
To the point where you're like, okay, I wonder if WWE could genuinely upset the United States to the point where it hurts their bottom line, can they become a mm-hmm. predominantly Saudi Arabia entertainment venue? Like, you know,
right.
Where it's like, okay, you know, because they are spending so much money, and we've talked about it at length, you know, the amount of money they have to be spending to be bringing some of these guys back, to be putting
yeah.
certain people back in the ring. Mm-hmm. Shocker,
and
shocker,
how much
shocker.
Of that eats into the profits that they're actually seeing? Like, I don't think they're actually making that much money.
I don't know. Right. I mean, again, it's such a bizarre, you yeah. know, scenario with this and, weird alternate thing where, like...
And honestly, like, you know, there is not nearly as much uproar about WWE going to Saudi Arabia like there was the last time.
Well, and I think
and a lot of that has just felt like they've beat everyone into submission.
It's 100% weathering the storm.
Yeah.
It's also a thing now where... Honestly, WWE has since the previous time. So, like, this mm-hmm. isn't even talking about long-term issues, mm-hmm. but just in the past 6 months or yeah. so, WWE has become so unengaging, so disingenuous, so much of a chore,
mm-hmm.
where part of the quandary mm-hmm. on the, you know, when they went last time was this, are you going to watch? Are you going to not watch? Yep. You know, where do you sit? And there was, it felt like a penalty or a consequence mm-hmm. to not watching, which would just be you would miss stuff. The
yeah.
general, like, the consequence for not watching any wrestling event is you're going to miss da-da-da-da-da. And that's not there at this point.
No.
Where it's like, hey, are you going to watch the Super Showdown, the Saudi Arabia show? And I'm just like, well... I'm going to watch a lot of wrestling that week
yeah.
because I do every week. And like, if that one doesn't make the, you know, the schedule,
then
it
yeah.
doesn't make the schedule. And I don't feel like I'm going to miss much.
No.
And it's like, oh, you're going to miss a championship change. And it's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And that is kind of where it lands. Like
yeah.
it just,
and it's kind of made me jaded on the rest of really anything as far as like, trying to change WWE's mind or change Vince's mind on things. Like, the guy wouldn't step away from doing business with a pretty much confirmed murderer, even though the even though the entire country was telling him, stop. We couldn't do that.
Wait.
Okay.
I want you to look back
mm-hmm.
at all the people
mm-hmm.
that Vince has worked with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to specify which murder?
And understand.
The most recent one.
That's the thing. It's like, and understand why this particular murderer
okay, fine.
Is not causing
fine.
Issues.
Fine. You didn't have the entire U.S. government telling Vince McMahon to stop booking Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Okay.
No, he did not.
We had the U.S. government saying, please.
Suggesting.
Don't do this. You had a large portion of his fan base saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
And he weathered the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he's not going to give the wrestlers health care.
No,
and anything else, you're going to get worked up between now and, you know, forever.
No.
So, we're going to be doing this for the next 10 years. They're going to go to Saudi Arabia, and there's not anything anyone can do about it. And the crown prince can murder as many people as he wants. Again, we're not going to be able to go to Saudi Arabia anytime soon.
I'm fine.
Or really.
this. I mean.
I don't know, because Khashoggi wasn't murdered in Saudi Arabia. No. So we really just got to stay out of that region.
10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And the second that I think this hurts the bottom line.
Yeah.
It'll be a pullout. It'll be no question. It'll be, we're done with this.
Sure.
I have to assume, obviously, going to Saudi Arabia the last time lost them a certain amount of money, and
yeah.
I don't know what it is.
They had to have,
but in sponsors, in, you know, X, Y, and Z,
they had to feel enough pressure because, again, like in the whole lead up to it, they wouldn't even say where they were.
Right.
I don't even know if they even said where they were during the event. I didn't
yeah.
watch it.
What was the Australia one called? Was that one called Super Showdown? I feel like they've used Super Showdown before.
Maybe.
So
that might just be the.
If that's just the generic title of, like, overseas WrestleMania, like, mega house shows, fine.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So.
I mean, it's way better title than, I mean, it's a cheesy title, and it's not a great, but it's better than Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well.
Crown Jewel wasn't terrible. the name. The event, yes. And the whole idea surrounding it, yes. And the fact that they opened up with Hulk Hogan is just fitting.
Yes. Oh, and again, it comes down to, like, are you going to watch it? I'm not going to boycott it, but I'm probably not going
to
watch it.
I'm also going to be at work when it's, you know, when, like, it's on, when it's on air.
Yes.
And if, I think it'll probably be going off the air by the time I get home.
So, and you got stuff to do.
I got stuff to do. Like, it's that's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I got a dog to walk, and yeah. I got a dog to feed. And then since it's Friday, I have to take my Friday nap. So I'm book solid, you guys.
Yeah. And it is very easy to skip these shows right now. Like, and that's not even like a, it's easy to morally decide I'm going to do this. Like, it's just easy to miss them. I don't fear that I'm going to miss anything. Mm-hmm. Your big thing of, like, Goldberg versus Undertaker. And I'm like,
I don't care.
It's not 1999. Yeah. No. It's not, I mean, like,
we've seen what each guy can do in the ring these days, and I mean, Goldberg is not really known for having a long match anyway, and,
well, and
neither is,
like,
Undertaker anymore.
Neither one is in their prime, but this isn't a greatest rivalry.
You're probably going to be able to fit the entire match into one GIF.
So there's not a score to settle.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really nostalgia to ride on between these two guys.
And there's not going to be any sort of build-up.
Yeah, there's no build-up. There's no storyline.
Neither guy is going to be on Raw in the next week.
And so it's, at least with the Undertaker, Kane, DX whole thing, they had storyline in there. They was like, we're building up to this, and we're going to fight here, and then we're going to move to part two and fight over here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing here. I guess the Money in the Bank thing kind of now, but either,
well, we're supposed to get hyped about Randy Orton versus Triple H.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly.
And the title is the biggest thing. Like, let's assume they go through with this, and it's going, like, Brock Lesnar's going to cash in, and it's going to be Brock and Seth. And either Seth is going to walk out with a title, or Brock is. And each of those scenarios feels like same old, same old.
Yeah.
Like, you have diverging paths where one of them will walk out. And no matter what it is, it'll feel like, yeah, same old, whatever.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you have, you know, Seth retaining, which is the preferable way to go.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, of course he's retaining. It's a glorified house show.
Yeah. And, okay,
and
so
title changes, like, yeah, of course they did. It's Brock.
Yeah. So, all right, come on, let's go to Double or Nothing.
Let's go to something that isn't gross.
So, Double or Nothing.
Yes.
The first official All Elite Wrestling event.
Yes.
We are going to be, this is it. This is the big moment.
Mm-hmm. Got 9 total matches. 2 are on the pre-show, which are going to be free on YouTube as well as BR Live.
Yes.
Now,
a couple of things to talk about first. Because this is distinguishably different than WWE event.
Right.
First of all, being,
it's a 21-man casino battle royal.
Hang on. Sorry. I'm not even there yet. Because I want to talk, okay. First I want to talk about specifically, I want to talk about the match that's not on the card.
Yeah, okay.
So, Pac and Hangman Page were announced to be fighting, I believe, for the championship. Was it officially announced for the championship or just heavily implied?
It hadn't been officially announced at that point, but it was heavily implied.
Okay. So,
like, they've made a championship, they haven't unveiled it yet.
Right. That match is no longer on the card.
Right.
That match is no longer on the card due to, basically, disagreements on how this was going to work.
Right.
And so,
especially since he is the champion of another company.
Right. And that's kind of what it comes down to, is that Pac is champion of Dragon Gate right now, and he doesn't feel that him losing is a good representative of being champion. He wants to, you know, he's representing this company, and him going over here and losing over here obviously is not a good look for them.
Right.
And there were a couple of different things. Apparently, what I pieced together is he was actually supposed to beat Hangman Page, but then later lose to Kenny Omega.
And
that was going to be the issue right there.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's good that they recognize that now.
So,
you know,
that's right. We have this very interesting thing right at the beginning, very first event.
Yeah.
We already have this hiccup
of
we have announced this match, we've hyped this match,
mm-hmm.
we have come to an impassable roadblock. It's
like,
not
essentially
happening.
That was the first match that was set up
yeah.
in the company.
Yeah, it was, and it didn't happen.
Right.
So We still have what is essentially a group of wrestlers doing a we can put on a show. Like it's Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney in the barn to raise enough money to save the school.
And this is by far way more independent than their first show.
Yeah.
You know?
And a lot of the mistakes and hiccups with All In, mm-hmm. we kind of forgave because they're trying hard.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you've got, you know, a rookie executive producer, you got calling the shots. And you know, they're putting together their first show. Yeah.
Yeah. And so while this is a hiccup, it is not necessarily a problem. In fact, it's a very good indicator of where do they go from here? Mm-hmm. What do they do? They are in a position that WWE is not in, where they are not working with exclusive wrestlers. That these wrestlers mm-hmm. are free to go elsewhere. And things like this mm-hmm. will continue to happen where I have a deal X, Y, and Z with this other wrestling promotion. Mm-hmm. And so it prohibits me from doing what you want me to do
and that's not
on
even
your
like,
show.
That's not even promotions that they are partnering with. Like,
right.
I forget the name of the company, but the Chinese wrestling organization that they're partnering with in AAA
in AAA.
Mexico.
Yep.
You know, those are, you know, basically companies that they are in league together with. But that is not even counting like guys like Chris Jericho, who are still working with New Japan. Mm-hmm. And even Kenny Omega, like he's no longer with New Japan. Like they've taken his name off their website over the weekend. But they still want to work with him in the future. And plenty of other people who are not exclusive to AEW. A lot of them are in the Battle Royal, you know, that are just popping in to be on the show.
Yeah. Well, and if Vince is aware of this, I don't know, I have no idea if he's aware of the behind the scenes of AEW right now,
mm-hmm.
but like the fact that this has happened feels like a big justification for how WWE runs their business
right.
and these insane independent contracts that they make everybody sign mm-hmm. because like, look, or else you get stuff like this. This is why we do it this way.
Yeah.
I hope for everything that, you know, basically AEW is able to move past this, is able to, and to learn
and
from
this. And it sounds
this.
Like they will be.
Yeah.
They'll
yeah.
be able to, like, it doesn't sound like there's any like, tension.
There's
or anything.
No hard feelings.
Right. Everyone kind of understands, like, okay, we're just in a pickle. We'll just, you know, Pac is still going to be in AEW. They just, you know, it might be a little bit later than what they were expecting.
The biggest thing I think here is to, if you want to continue to operate this way, because they do. They obviously want to operate this way because this is how they wished things had operated for them that mm-hmm. way. Slightly off skew, but honestly the best comparison is, you know, I do a lot of theater work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in theater works, you will get first-time directors
yeah.
who have been acting for several years. And they will have very specific ideas of what a director should do, how a director should be.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have, like, pet peeves, like, you know, director such and such always makes us stay too late.
Yeah.
You know, when it's time to go home and director such and such isn't done, so we all have to stay late. And they're like, when I'm a director, I will never do this. I will never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become a director and they're not, basically they're not being a good director because
sometimes,
they're trying to adhere to their vision of what a director should be and not existing in the real world.
And knowing that it's a little bit more complicated than that. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, these guys just have to work through that. But we are flying. We got to do this card.
The 20-man Casino Battle Royal, I'm not exactly sure how the match is going to work, but we'll see.
Yes. Best to my understanding is you're going to start with 5 people in the ring.
Right.
And then every 5 minutes, add another 5 people in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So weird kind of like clump Royal Rumble style.
Yeah. And I'm guessing since it's 21, that one person
one person with an advantage.
Right.
And they're going to come in at the end.
Long list of people. MJF is going to be in it, Joey Janela. The winner of this match is going to have a future world championship match against the winner of Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's notable. Formerly known as Ty Dillinger, Sean Spears has now been added to this match. His WWE non-compete clause
mm-hmm.
ended the pretty much the moment they announced this.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I always knew, like, Ty Dillinger was one of Cody's favorites whenever he was in the company. And, like, when he left, people were like, well, who's your favorite that's still in the company? He's like, well, I don't want him to get any heat, you know, for me saying this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Ty Dillinger.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so I always thought it was weird. It's like, okay, he's been out of the WWE.
When are they
going to
announce?
Yeah. As far as people that are likely to win, I'm thinking, like, MJF, they're probably going to, like, they... Obviously, they're very high on him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sean Spears, but I don't know exactly what his contract situation is going to be like.
Yeah.
Brian Pillman Jr. would not be a terrible idea. Also on the pre-show is Kip Sabian and Sammy Guevara. I can't pronounce his last name. The kid that does all the vlogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably Sammy. They've put a lot of emphasis behind him. And a lot of these guys, we are not necessarily familiar with them, but that's the beauty of this company. Everything feels fresh. A lot of people that have not had a highlight on them so far, they're going to get that highlight now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun of all this. Like the 6-man tag match got SoCal and Censored, which we are familiar with, go up against Strong Hearts from the Chinese company that they're partnering
right.
with. So nobody really in the United States have any idea who they are.
What to do there.
But this is going to be an amazing showcase for them. Got the 3-way women's match, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, Kylie Rae.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if Britt Baker won because she was their first female signee.
What's so interesting about this, mm-hmm. as you're kind of going through, is I don't really have predictions for
anything. No.
Like,
I think
my two strongest predictions was I think Cody's probably going to beat Dustin,
which is what I was going to say next.
Yeah, and I think that Jericho is probably going to beat Kenny Omega because I feel like you want to kind of have Chris Jericho's your name.
Yeah.
More than anything else, Chris Jericho's mm-hmm. your biggest name, and you want to be able to put that on things.
Yeah, and Kenny Omega, he's one of those people that can easily take a loss and still feel almost, you know, as... unbeatable
right.
as he was before. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, Chris Jericho's your only legend there.
Right.
If Kenny Omega's your John Cena, Chris Jericho is your Triple H or Undertaker.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Calm your horses. Billy Gunn is in the Battle Royal.
But my point is, other than those two very vague, very tentative, quote unquote, predictions, I don't really have predictions for this because I don't know how they book and I don't know what they're booking for. Because Double or Nothing is happening, and AEW The Weekly Show is happening
sometime
in the future, and I don't know.
Probably in the fall, I would assume.
Right. I don't know how big they are. Like, I know what they've said about, like, hey, we want clean wins on pay-per-views,
yeah.
and we want, you know, win-loss records. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a lot of saying stuff. I don't know how it's going to work in practice. I don't know how often they're going to do dusty finishes.
Yeah.
I don't know how often they're going to do swerves or work shoots or... You know, any of this, like, weird kayfabe 8.0 that they do in Being the Elite, where, what was it when, I think it was Matt edits the show, but he has to edit the show blindfolded,
yeah.
so, like,
so
he's
yeah.
still surprised by stuff that happens.
Yeah. The only other, there's a few other matches, but the only one I'll mention right now is the tag team match for the AAA World Tag
mm-hmm.
Championship, Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros. With the Young Bucks being the defending champs, I would assume Lucha Bros. Because, I mean, you want to... I mean, granted, it is, you know, Young Bucks show, but...
Well, and that's... The other thing is I don't know these main four guys, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Cody, are they going to win more or lose? Like,
right.
With this being, quote-unquote, their
yeah.
show.
And, I mean, even if they don't win, which is completely fine if they don't, with the Young Bucks, I do feel like they kind of got their moment a little shortchanged at All In because they had to rush through that match so quickly. Now they
yeah.
still had a great moment, but you know they didn't have.
But you do feel a little bad for the guys that put in some of the most work for this
yeah.
show to exist.
So with that being said, I would really like for them to have all the time that they need and really like.
Yeah.
Because, like, this match could be amazing.
Do you know, I haven't thought of this until now, I'm assuming, can I watch All In still on the Ring of Honor's service?
I don't know. I know that they took it off of New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure about Ring of Honor.
And it's not available on any kind of DVD, is it?
No, I don't think it has any sort of distribution.
So, like, yeah. I wonder how you... Well, it comes down to, because I was kind of thinking about, the other interesting thing that I want to mention before we wrap up is this is not a show you can watch for $10.
Nope.
Like all the pay-per-views that WWE... This is a pay-per-view.
It is a pay-per-view.
I believe you will be paying...
At least $49. I'm pretty sure it's the same across the board, no matter if you watch it online or on TV.
Yeah, there is not... And like, it was a weird thing, kind of like waiting for it to happen. Like, okay, how are they going to stream this? And I was like, very ready to be like, oh, we got to pay $15-$20 for the month of whatever service it's going to be.
Right. And like, even if it's a one-time thing, I was thinking like maybe $10-$15 mm-hmm. since it's a one-time thing, especially if you watch it online. But they went with the, you know, the typical pay-per-view price.
And that feels very much like a weird bygone era.
Yeah.
I've been watching WrestleMania for years now as part of the network.
Yeah.
And I could do the same thing for New Japan stuff where, you know, I was paying my monthly fee and I could see Wrestle Kingdom and Dominion and everything.
I don't know. I would have leaned more into some sort of streaming service for something a little cheaper. Something that could be like, you know, a little bit more accessible to everyone, because, you know, people with access to pay-per-view is greatly decreased in the last few years.
Well, and I obviously you can get it online,
right?
And part of the deal for pay-per-view, and I don't 100% understand it, mm-hmm. but they can't undercut the pay-per-view price,
right?
WWE basically gets to like, we're doing it, and like,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, it's because they've, you know, they were around since pay-per-view began.
Yes.
And basically they just called they can call their own shots. I mean, technically, you know, All Elite could do that as well, but they would probably face some repercussions.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see.
I just think it would have benefited them just not even mess with pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I don't know where we're going in the long term. I also don't know if the, you know, we are talking about this like it's, you know, a pay-per-view a month strategy, which nobody's mentioned, and honestly is probably unlikely, especially on the get-go. I don't think we'll be seeing an All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view every month.
No, Lord, no.
I think we'll probably do, you know, probably 2 to 3 this first year. We'll probably go an All In 2 and maybe something
or,
extra.
Or, you know, honestly, I don't hate the Impact mode that they had. I don't know if they still do, they probably don't, but that was a while. Like, they, instead of doing pay-per-views, they would just have like specially branded episodes of their weekly show. Mm-hmm. Be like, this episode is when all this is happening, essentially like a pay-per-view, but it's just on their weekly show.
Yeah,
maybe they give them a little extra time on, you know, like a special, like, you know, like a season finale would have, you know, a full hour instead of a half hour.
Right, you do like that. You know.
I honestly would not be against that, you know, because then you can pull in more advertising for your TV, and apparently they're making a lot of money off of advertising.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I think that would be.
I think
best.
Obviously this first show is going to do huge.
Sure.
It's their
first
show.
Absolutely.
Coming right off of All In being a huge success, this big like, oh, we're
it's
going
to be a great jumping off point for the company.
Yes. I don't know if even this company, even it's great, can sustain a $50 buy rate for it. I mean, I don't know. UFC does it. So like there is an audience.
Yeah. And they're horrible. But yeah.
There is an audience that plops down, and UFC, I think the UFC does one a month, sometimes more. They might do like 14 a year of their pay per view events. Mm-hmm. So like there is a certain audience with certain money that says we want to pay this. I don't know.
Yeah.
We will have to see where it goes, but that is a thing interesting worth noting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet at appropriate times, one of which will be this Saturday. Chris, I believe, is watching Double or Nothing live. So
you're being a lame and hanging with family.
Yes. Yes. But I will be watching. So like I will have to go dark.
Right. You're just going to have to watch it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
if you have any,
which I'll have to figure out how to do, I don't have a network.
You might be able to go back on PR Live.
It'll probably have some sort of, like, you know, 24-hour expiration.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But, again, it's... I will say I'm very ingrained into the network WWE model.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send it over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to... follow the podcast, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or write a review. If you do that, it helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.